All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, truly. We thank you that you are with us and that you lead and guide us, and for your grace in this moment, not only being surrounded by those who love you, but your grace in helping us to teach us things in our hearts and lives. We ask you that our minds and our hearts are open to receive what it is you have for us, that we may be challenged or encouraged, but anything that's not from you, we pray, is forgotten. We thank you for your great love. We pray this in the name of Jesus. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Hear now God's word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, I had mentioned how kids are very good at lawyering their parents, saying exactly what it is that hearing exactly what it is that we say and not what we mean. The example I used last week is I told my kids to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and then when I went up to their room at 11 o'clock, they were still awake, and I asked, "Why are you still awake?" And they said, "You told us to go to bed, not go to sleep." You know, that kind of thing. He's very good at that. My younger son in particular is quite good at that. Christmas time, my wife likes getting a real Christmas tree. I like a fake Christmas tree and spray it with pine salt if she wants that real pine scent. She doesn't go for that. So we get the real Christmas tree, and my youngest son comes in after we set it up, and he says, my other son came in and said, "Is this a live Christmas tree?" And my wife said, "Yes, it is." And my youngest son said, "No, it's not a live Christmas tree. It's a dying Christmas tree." He's right, technically. He's right. It was a dying Christmas tree. So we were having another conversation about food. What is for you your most favorite meal of the day? I hear some breakfast. Raise your hand if it's breakfast. Breakfast. Lunch? Maybe you like lunch better. Dinner? I was ready for that. Every meal. So we got a lot of dinners. I like breakfast, and I think a lot of the nation like breakfast because Denny's and Eaton Park, they serve breakfast all day. Just something about that high cholesterol, high fat food, the sausages, the eggs, the pancakes. It's just something quite wonderful about it. But my son taught me something about breakfast. How many of you don't eat breakfast on a normal basis? Okay, all of you with your hands raised are wrong. Okay. I'll tell you why. It's because we were talking about this, and we said, my oldest son, ate his first meal of the day at 12 o'clock. And he said, I'm going to have breakfast. I said, no, you're going to have lunch. My youngest son said, no, he's having breakfast. Because what's breakfast? You break fast. Fasting is when you don't eat through the day. And so if you don't eat through the day, that first meal that you have is when you break that. So every first meal you have, no matter when you have it, is breakfast. I thought, wow, it really puts a whole spin on life. I didn't know that first meal was all. You could have breakfast at dinner. I wouldn't recommend it. You'll be quite hungry. But let's look at this breakfast for a moment. Jesus is on the beach. The disciples are out on the sea. Now, why are they in the sea? I find this quite interesting. They're fishing. Why are they fishing? Because Peter wanted to fish. Why did Peter want to fish? He's a fisherman. He's a fisherman at heart. He's a fisherman by trade. It's something that he loves to do. And for the last 3 years, he's been going all over the countryside with Jesus as Jesus' assistant, being a minister, watching everything that Jesus has done, being trained by Jesus. And now Jesus has died. And Jesus rose again. And Peter saw him one or two times after Jesus rose again. But that's a lot to process. If I saw my grandfather in the store, my grandfather's been dead since I was 9. If I saw my grandfather in the store here at Chop and Save, and he came up to me and said, "Hi, Justin, I'm your papa," I would need time to process that. It's not something that I would be able to say, "Oh yeah, hi, grandfather, how are you doing? It's been a long time." It would take a little while for it to really sink in. And so Peter does something that I think we all tend to do. That when there's something in our life that we don't understand, something bothering us, something weighing heavy on our mind, we revert back to those things in our lives that were simple for us. For Peter, it's fishing. He knows fishing. For me, it's playing board games. Or it's sitting outside on the porch or taking a walk in the woods. For some others, it might be hunting. My dad, during hunting season, whenever something was happening in his life, he'd go out in the woods, carry his rifle, go sit down by a tree and just sit. He wouldn't care if he saw anything. It was just a chance to get his mind wrapped around things. Peter goes back to what he knows. The future looks confusing and complex. First, the person whom he loved and admired the most died. His heart was broken. The future looked bleak. Those things that he was preparing for didn't happen, would never happen. And he was trying to prepare himself for that. Now Jesus is back and the future looks different. And he's being torn. So he fishes. And he asks his friends if they want to come along, and they come along, they're out in the boat, and he's doing this thing that he loves, he's doing this thing that he knows and that he understands, this thing that's familiar. And how does it go? It's terrible. It is a terrible time. He doesn't catch a single thing. And then he's standing on the boat with his other friends. He's worked so hard, worked up quite a sweat. He took off all of his clothes. And Jesus is on the beach there. And some stranger, because that's who they think Jesus is, hollers, "How's it going, guys?" And Peter says, "This stinks. We haven't caught a single thing." This stranger says, "Throw it on the other side over there." Peter probably rolls his eyes and says, "Whatever. What can I lose at this point?" So they do. Hauls up a huge haul of fish, and John finally gets in. He says, "That's Jesus." I love Peter's passion. I've always loved Peter's passion because I don't have Peter's passion. I would like to have Peter's passion. The moment Peter hears that it's Jesus, he takes his coat, he wraps it around his waist, he jumps in the water, and he swims ashore. Jesus has breakfast ready for them. The United Methodist Church understands this. Food is important. We like to eat. How many of you like to eat? How many of you like to eat with other people? One of the things that I think has gone away in this culture is family dinner time. Not that it's gone away completely, but you really have to fight for that, right? We have to fight for that in our home. And not just fight the kids, but fight ourselves. Sometimes it's just easier to get food ready, throw it on the counter, and go do what you got to do and have the kids eat when they're ready. There's something about sitting down with one another and eating. Jesus, they all came ashore, and Jesus had the bread on. Jesus had the fish ready. Jesus had the coffee brewing or whatever else is that they have. And they all gathered around, and they broke fast together. But the fast that they broke isn't just the not eating all night long. The fast that they broke is this needling in the back of their heads that the future is going to be uncertain, that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, that it's going to be so full of sorrow and pain and heartache and unknowing. That was broken because Jesus was eating with them. Now their future was full of hope, full of love, full of a mission and a focus. And today, this Easter Sunday, that's what we celebrate. We don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? And in this world that we live in, it seems like anything could happen. But we know this, because of this day, because of Easter Sunday, that whatever happens, we can get through it. Whatever happens, we have one another. Whatever happens, we can trust in Christ to give us the strength to face it because of Easter Sunday. Because Christ loved us that much that he's with us, walks with us always. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for you.